Why should I fear anything? He's in control, not me. This is his business and his plan, not mine. So I just want to love him and serve him. But he is an invisible God. But he became visible once he came to this earth as a man. And he walked on this earth for 33 years. And he showed us how a perfect man should live. Ain't none of us come close, have we? No, we haven't even come close. When I started reading the book for myself, when Jesus started telling me, you know, that the wonderful things he did, like he controlled the weather and the winds and the storms, and he cast out demons and healed the sick and done all those things. And I thought, wow, this is awesome, Lord, what you can do. And then I read that scripture in John 14:12, where he said, I tell you the truth, to anyone that believes in me, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but greater things than these that I've done shall you do in my name. And I thought, wow. Now, if you told me that, I'd have trouble believing that. But since Jesus told me that, then I can believe that by faith, can't I? It takes faith to believe something like that. You know, I mean, if you ain't never cast out a demon, you've never healed the sick, you've never controlled the weather, you've never commanded clouds to go away and they open up right in front of you before you can fly through in clear blue weather. I mean, the first time you do that, you want to say, I don't believe it. But you know better than that because you know it's not going to work next time if you say that. But you say, thank you, Lord, for your promises, which you made the promises, and I'm standing on them by faith. And it worked. Just like Jesus, when he calmed the sea, when they got up and said, Lord, do you not care that we perish in this storm? And he got up and said, where's you guys' faith? What's wrong with you guys? And he spoke to the storm, and it stopped. You know, he's trying to tell us, I've given you this same power. You can do this. But we don't believe him most of the time. But I've learned to believe him, especially to a degree, and I think of some of the mighty awesome miracles I've seen our God do in the last 20 years. And especially the last 10. You have any idea what it's like to be flying in an airplane as a pilot and going into an airport where they have no approach of no kind and it's 0-0 socked in fog. You can't see nothing and your instruments are telling you that there's total fog and the visibility up ahead is 0. And all of a sudden you just say, okay, Lord, we need to go in there. We're going to be about your business. So Father, in Jesus' name, you said in John 14:13-14, I could ask for anything and you'd do it. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, clear the skies where we can see the end of the runway and see the lights and everything. And it's in the middle of the night, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning when it's pitch black. And you just say, thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And bam. You just fly out of a wall of fog into a beautiful, clear sky just like it is right now. And you turn and line up on the runway lights and you land that airplane. And just as you touch down on the airplane, it turns back into solid fog again. But God opened the skies for you to get on the ground. Isn't that awesome? I just stand in awe. But he told us we could do that as his children. Now then, in the times ahead, if we don't get into fear, we stay in faith, we'll be able to overcome the enemy with no problem. We'll be able to overcome. Because our God, he may be invisible, but he's very real. Very real. Hebrews 11:10-28 says, it was by faith that Moses commanded the people of Israel to keep the Passover and to sprinkle blood on the doorpost so that the angel of death would not kill their firstborn sons. What do you think that would be like if I come to every one of you's house tonight and I said, you know, the Lord told me to tell each one of you to kill a lamb and take the blood of the lamb and take you some paintbrushes and brush the side post and the top post over the top of the door. And if you don't do that, your firstborn children will be dead in the morning when you wake up. People would have to say, you know, Thurman's lost his mind. But did God do that to Moses? He did it to Moses. He told him to tell the people to do this. Well, Moses, he just by faith told the people what God says. Now, the people by faith had to do what Moses told them, didn't they? And every one of them that painted the doorpost with the blood of the lamb, their firstborn child was not dead the next morning. But in the house of Egypt, nobody believed. Nobody believed Moses knew what he was talking about. And how many firstborn children was dead to the Egyptians the next morning? Every family had at least one son dead because they did not obey God. Does God do what he says? You know, people say, you know, God would never kill a child. Oh, yeah, he killed a bunch of them right there, didn't he? You don't put God to the test. If he tells you he's going to kill the firstborn, if you don't do something, you better do it. because by faith he will do what he says. Verse 29 and 30. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians followed, they were all drowned. Now think about that. Last week or week before last, whenever it was, we talked about there could have been 3 to 5 million people. In other words, the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex is about that size. Now what if God gave you the chore with no radio, no television, no PA horns or nothing? He gave you the chore to get everybody in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex together and lead them up Interstate 35 to Oklahoma City. What kind of a job do you think that would be? I mean, what if God told you to get 1,000 people together and lead them up the freeway? That'd be more than we could handle, wouldn't it? 1,000. Especially 3 to 5 million people. And then another 5 or 10 million animals following along with you. I mean, this is some kind of a chore. But Moses brings these people out there and holds up his staff, and the water of the Red Sea separates. Now, I've heard many different scholars that have figured these kind of things out. And of course, from an engineering standpoint, it intrigues me that I read one the other day. The man says, for them to get 5 million people across the Red Sea in one night, the sea would have had to have opened 5 miles wide. And they would have had to walk one behind the other 5 miles long all night long to get everybody across that sea in one night, in 8 hours. You ever think about that? I mean, with 5 million people in the Metroplex, if you drive them here to the far side over toward Terrell, how long does it take you driving in a car if the traffic's good? Hour and a half. At 40, 50, and 60 miles an hour. So just think, what if you were trying to lead all these people out somewhere? It could be a pretty massive chore, couldn't it? It was no little thing, for sure. So it says, it was by faith that they went through the Red Sea, as though they were on dry ground. But when the Egyptians followed, they were all drowned. I love that story about that little boy was telling his teacher about that. And she says, Johnny, you surely can't believe such foolish stories like that. You know, the Bible is just a Bible of old stories. He said, no, ma'am, the Bible is God's word. And if he said it, it happened. She said, now, you don't really believe that water, that sea was hundreds of feet deep and God moved the wave, moved the water back so everybody could walk through on dry ground? He said, yes, ma'am, I believe that. She said, well, let me tell you what the real story. Said they were way up on the north end of the Red Sea where the water was only about knee deep. And so the people walked through the Red Sea in knee deep water. He said, praise God. She said, what do you mean? He said, it's even a greater miracle yet. She said, what do you mean? He said, how he drowned all them Egyptians in 6 inches of water. So see, Johnny, he was going to see a miracle any way you tried to throw it at him. He's going to believe that God is God and he's able to do what he said he could do. And sometimes the faith of a child, we need to learn to be children and get rid of some of this nonsense. That's kind of like the professor that was the science professor and they were studying all the astrology and everything and the planets and galaxies. And one boy in the class, whenever he was told, you know, that now, you know, surely none of y'all believe that God, a supernatural being, made all this because this just happened. You know, there was an explosion and everything just came to be. And he said, but sir, surely you don't believe that. He said, well, sure, of course I do. I don't believe that there's a creator being that put this all together. There was just a big bang one day and everything just came into existence. He said, okay. So he goes home and he says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a sun and I'm going to put it here in the middle on a little stand. I'm going to put little deals off of it with every one of the planets on it, is their right locations and everything and where they are and the orbits. And he made this big mock-up about this big, beautiful thing. It took him days to make it all painted, all the little planets and everything. And he took it in one day and put it on the professor's desk. Boy, when the professor came, he looked at it, he said, no, that's beautiful. He said, wow, who did this? Nobody answered a word. He said, look, this is so beautiful. If you'll just tell me who did it, I'll give you an A for the semester. Nobody said a word. He said, look, I'm beginning to get a little irritated now. I know this just didn't happen on my desk. Somebody had to make this. It didn't just happen. And the boy stood up and said, sir, if you don't think that didn't just happen, then what do you think about the real one out there? He said, that's what I've been trying to tell you all along. The universe and the galaxies was by divine intervention There was a creator God that spoke all this into existence, and he rules it every day with his mighty spoken word. And he does. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And we need to remember who he is. He is our God and our Lord, and he's such an awesome God. And he says, it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. Can you imagine walking all the way around? How many people have we got here? Somewhere between 3 and 5 million people. That's a pretty big bunch of people walking around, and they walked around totally silent. I'd like to see you get 3 million. I'd like to see you get 300 people. And tell them all, I want y'all to walk all the way around this city of Jericho one time today and don't speak a word. I'd like to see that happen, especially with 3 million or 5 million, whatever it was. I can't even comprehend how they can get the word out to people to do something like this, but they did. So it was by faith. People of Israel marched around Jericho 7 days and the walls came crashing down. And you know what's amazing? As they've excavated Jericho, I always dreamed about the walls just falling and tumbling into piles, but that's not what happened. You know what happened to the walls? Angels got on top of the walls and pushed the walls intact into the ground. They're still totally intact. When they excavated the city, it's like the city had been covered up with dirt. Somebody says, you know, I can't believe that. Well, you don't have enough faith yet. What can our God do? Is there anything impossible with him? No, there's not anything even hard for God. He can do so much beyond we can even think or imagine. I used to have a problem believing he could heal my body. Lord, if it's your will. No, it was his will. I just had to step into the world of faith. It's always God's will to heal his children. He doesn't want none of us to be sick, but he only accepts it after we repent of our sin and we step into the world of faith. It's by faith you get everything from God. Did you know by faith is the only way you get saved? When I talk to somebody, I say, are you a born-again Christian? Well, I hope so. You hope so? Yeah. You think you're going to heaven when you die? I hope so. I said, I got news for you. You may not make it.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop here for today, but we will return on our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled Are You Strong in Faith? Or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.